I have sitting in the studio across from me right now, John Moyer from a Backyard Theater. And I'm really, really honored to have you in the studio, John. This is great. And I know Nowhere Ontario, this isn't the first time you've done this play. This is a remount, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We did it this past summer in our backyard, literally. That's mm-hmm. where the part of the name of Backyard Theater comes from. It's also a concept, which I'll maybe explain later. But
yes,
yeah, it literally took place in our backyard. We have this big backyard that backs onto some railway land, and somebody built a big concrete block shed there in the 70s to process honey and sell it at Kitchener Market. And
wow.
Kathleen and I have been doing plays for years, and we were looking. We had done a play in a friend's barn in 2003.
Right. Yeah.
It was a play set in a barn, performed in a barn. And so we were looking all over the region for good barns, if you can believe it, for theaters. And then we looked at this shed one day and realized, hey, well, this could be a theater. And it has three entrances, and one is a backstage, and we can get about 100 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do this sort of one weekend a year. We try to do something in there. But it's... So anyways, and so we did it there this summer. We did four shows,
mm-hmm.
100 at each show. They were all sold out, and lots of people couldn't get to see it, and people thought, you know, this should be a bigger production that more people should see. So
yeah.
That's why the remount downtown at the Conrad Center.
Yeah, exactly. Can you tell people a little bit about this play, Nowhere Ontario? This is our history. This is
actually our local
history. Yeah. This happened 100 years ago in the very neighborhood that you and I live in. I
exactly.
live on Queen Street South.
Yeah.
You guys live, where do you guys live? On Homewood?
Homewood. Yeah.
Homewood.
Yeah.
So that's just bordering the Victoria Park.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about this story. You play Martin.
That's right.
And a little bit of backstory about your character
sure.
in Nowhere Ontario.
Yeah. I might just give a brief thing about what Kathleen tries to do. Kathleen, my wife, is the playwright and director.
Yes.
And she tries to write stories that are about the community in which they're performed.
Yes.
And by people who live there, a combination of professionals and amateurs,
mm-hmm.
but really trying to get at the stories that are literally right in our backyard
mm-hmm.
and stories beneath our feet that we don't even realize are there. You know?
Don't.
And so... This story, she started to research a little bit about World War I and the name change from Berlin to Kitchener.
Right.
And realized that this was really a story of, you could make a case of national significance because...
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because in 1916, Berlin was this up-and-coming industrious town, proud of her German heritage, had become a city in 1912.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was fine, of course, until the war broke out. And
right.
then... being German was no longer an easy thing to be. So
yeah.
you had this tension between the German community and the English community, and not necessarily just along those lines, because there were many Germans who supported the war effort, especially business people, because nobody wanted to buy footwear with boots on it that said made in Berlin when you were fighting the Germans. So there was this whole tension in the city, and so... she started to research it and try to figure out more about it. And she also started to research our neighborhood because we're in the Victoria Park area.
District, right. Did she, when I wrote a piece, I kind of did some research. Did she go to the Gray Schmidt room at the
Sure,
at the
she
library?
Did that. She read every secondary source that's out there.
That's amazing.
She read diaries and journals and stuff. And the character I play, Martin Nagel, is the name of the person who actually owned our house in 1916.
Oh, man.
And so when Kathleen did all this background research, but of course when you write a play, you never know what of all of that detail will end up in the play. You have to follow the story arc that you're following, right?
Yep.
So she started with all these different things, but and she started with also just researching our very street as well. And so she used the name of Martin Nagel for one of the main characters. She found out he was German-speaking. The neighbor was English-speaking.
Mm.
We don't really know anything else really about Martin Nagel
mm-hmm.
besides that he was like Swedenborgian and a shoe worker or something. And but anyway, she started to imagine what it might be like then in 1916 with the background of the tension in the city and the background of the tension in the world.
Yeah.
You know, of this war.
Tension on the front.
Yeah, and to then have people, you know, on two sides of that conflict
living beside each
other.
Yeah,
and not necessarily two, but, you know, and it's not necessarily two complete opposite sides of the conflict, but, you know, two very different perspectives. And so the play is really it's kind of a backyard play, too, in the sense that it's these two neighboring backyards and this, it's a very, you're looking at this big thing of war, and war is so far away and so surreal and so far removed from our everyday experience, but you see that war very much in the mundane and the everyday, and how that might have played out for these two families just living their life. And so it really does
the trickle down effect, the impact, the young boys that, like, a lot of those kids that went, a lot of those young guys that went, they were underage. They thought it was the thing to do. And, you know, if you think about kids that are 17-year-olds these days, they're listening to iPods, and they're, you know, they've got everything. Kids back then, they'd be listening through the trenches for the sound of rats or the sound of Germans, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all, and it's not that long ago, you know. But it, and the trickle-down effect, the families, how the families have been, you know, how they are changed by the turn of events. Tell me more about the story arc.
Yeah, you have to be careful here because I don't want to give stuff away.
Yeah,
but
right.
There is this German bachelor who has inherited these two sons because their parents have passed away.
I was going to say, what's Martin's backstory?
And they're like 9 years old and 18 years old. And the 9-year-old actor is terrific, by the way. He steals the show. But the 18-year-old boy has not signed up. The neighbor's 18-year-old son is serving overseas. And so there's just a natural tension there. She's just moved to the city. She's also single.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, they're sort of becoming good friends as neighbors, but anytime they get close to being, getting along, it's not necessarily overtly romantic, but, you know, there's perhaps that possibility in the background, but anytime the relationship seems to be going somewhere, something from that surreal world of war, and there are different perspectives on that, intervenes and
comes in between
mm-hmm. and causes conflict in the neighborhood. So that's kind of the tension of the play. Now, I shouldn't give the impression that it's this
it's funny too,
heavy drama. It's also very lighthearted in times. I think you'd still classify it as a drama, but certainly there are many funny moments. And the other thing that the play has is a lot of great music. And
that's right. There's a vaudeville element to this. So how did this come into play? This is very cool.
Yeah, it's one person described it as James Rainey meets Bertolt Brecht or something. But if you know what I mean.
That's funny.
But Kathleen, when she was doing the research, you know, when she was reading about all the stuff that was going on in the city, she thought she was going to write a comedy because it was just sort of comical what some of the things the politicians were doing and so forth. And but as she got into it, and, you know, it's World War One, and, you know, her grandfather came back. He was a medic. He came back an alcoholic from that war. Was never the same. And so she realized, you know, I can't quite make it a comedy. It's too a pure comedy. It's too, you know, it's too deep a story for that. But that doesn't mean it doesn't, as I said, have comedy in it. But the point about the vaudeville is that so she wasn't quite sure what to do with that sort of absurd political humor that she saw there, that she just found comical. So there are two scenes in the play, one in the first act and one in the second act, where it goes in, it sort of goes downtown to City Hall. So most of the play is set in these backyards, but then it kind of morphs into this vaudeville thing where it goes down to City Hall, and the politicians are not, they're sort of represented by clowns, and there's some musical numbers that have been written.
Which is great.
And so it turns into vaudeville, which was this kind of broad musical comedy of the time, and men dressed up in dresses and all kinds of stupid stuff. And so there's two of those scenes, one in the first act and one in the second act, and it all just kind of works together
And it is. Vaudeville's making a comeback too. There's some young guy. There's some young people playing around town. They're actually playing vaudeville music.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we're gonna. Yeah. Once we take a musical break, one of them performs at Victoria Park all the time. His name is James Stevens, but he's right out of that era.
Yeah.
Which I think is very. Vaudeville's really hot right now. Where is this coming from? But people just love the music, and was satirical and was political in a way as well. I wanted to ask you, because you're moving this play to the Conrad Center, what have some of the challenges been moving from literally from the backyard to a stage? And what's the configuration? Is it?
Yeah.
Or is that a surprise?
No, that's fine. Yeah. No, that was really their big question, right? Because there's so many natural advantages of our backyard setting. You know, the play was late July. Mm-hmm. The play started at 8. The birds are chirping. Out the backstage, you see the greenery of the park. When the little boy is always going over to the park to bring news, and when he heads out that door, he's literally heading in the direction of the park. You know, people said, I felt like the play was over. Was that in 1916 or was I in 2012?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It was just a time warp kind of thing. So, so we were trying. So that has been one challenge. And also, our stage is so small in there, and it's a proscenium stage.
Oh, it's a proscenium. Okay.
Yeah, in our backyard. So now we're in a 3/4 thrust stage, right, with the audience on three sides.
Right. It's like a theater in the round. I was.
Yeah, it's a theater in the rectangle, literally.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly the space you're talking about.
It's a beautiful space, right? Yeah. But the blocking had to be completely redone for that new setting. And the real asset of this space is we have some great singers and dancers this time, and they can really use that space. In the other space, you can't really, you know, you do one high leg kick and you're kicking the person in the front row in the chin or something.
Yeah.
So it's had some, it certainly has some assets, but you lose that sort of natural feeling. But we've done some things to help bring people into it at the beginning. The band is going to play 15 minutes of pre-show music, and you definitely should get there for the band. It's they're awesome. They're playing it's that early jazz stuff that they play, and so that we'll be playing with the house lights on to start to try and bring
to
people
set the mood.
To bring people into the era.
That's great.
We came up with some original film footage from 1916. Mm-hmm. That'll be integrated in there to try and help with
From Kitchener?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did you guys get that from?
Jamie uses his computer. I'm not sure where he had it. It was originally commissioned by the city of Kitchener in 1916 that to film the very events that the day the 118th Battalion, which is the battalion Kitchener raised, the day they moved out, the city of Kitchener paid the Canada Film Company of Galt $275 to film the day's proceedings.
Man.
And so so some of that footage will be used to help people time travel. And we've
amazing.
Dressed the set a little more to try and bring people in. I think the music does a great job too of making that transition.
What about the cast?
I don't know what to say about the cast. It's a combination. The way we do things at Backyard Theater traditionally is we just sort of know people and we ask people and we don't really audition and so forth. And I know that sounds kind of amateurish and so forth, but it's only, and one reviewer said of one of our plays, it's only amateur in the sense that people who are doing it for the love of it. And we do have some professionals involved as well. Jen Cornish is a local actress. And
she's great.
We had seen her act in something. And so she's terrific. And a lot of the people acting are actually, the young man is a drama student at University of Waterloo, Alan Schoenfeld.
Yeah, which is great.
The young woman is acted, Leah Edmonds has acted in so many things around the city, and we knew her parents, and so we sort of start, if we can, who we think will be good.
Because you're also the producer.
Yeah.
And I might tell people that you're also a history teacher as well. You're the perfect person to have producing this play and being in this play, so I'm guessing because you guys are probably running Q to Qs that it's around this time that you're probably... exhausted. I need to get my second. I know what that's like, but
yeah. Well, we have dress rehearsal at 7:30 tonight. Yeah. So it's that
because
it's that time. Yeah.
You open tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to. Is there any music? I was going to put on Brandon James Stevens, but is there any music you'd like me to call up on YouTube that I could play for you?
Let me think about that. I'm not really a music.
All right.
I'll
put on some Brandon James Stevens because he's a very popular young man in this area who does perform vaudeville music. So this is actually a piece called The Panic Is
On.
Can
I just mention where people can get tickets?
Oh, yeah. We're taking a musical break and then we'll come back and we'll do all of that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
What this country coming to? I'd surely like to know if they don't do something by and by. You know, folks, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Every day, nothing to eat, no place to sleep. All night long, folks walking in the streets. Doggone, I mean a panic is on. I saw a man this morning walking down the street in his BBGs, he had no shoes on his feet. You ought to see the women curving in their flats. I could hear them saying, what kind of man is that? Doggone, I mean the panic is on. All right now. Some women are selling apples and some women are selling pies. Some even selling gin and rye. Some selling socks to support their men. In fact, some women are selling anything that they can. Doggone, I mean a panic is on. Stephen Harper done gone ruined everything. That's why I'm forced to sing Will Will. Here's one thing I've just got to say, if things don't start going our way, doggone, I mean a panic is on. Some play the numbers, some read your mind. They've got a racket of some other kind. Some trimming corns off of people's feet. You gotta do something to make ends meet. Doggone, I mean a panic is on. Yeah. Things just ain't gonna change, it seems. Ponder my clothes and everything. Pawned my watch and my ring. Pawned my razor and my gun. If luck don't change, there'll be some stealing done. Doggone, I mean a panic is on. Stephen Harper done gone ruined everything. That's why I'm forced to sing Well, Well. Here's one thing I've just got to say. If things don't start going our way, doggone, I mean a panic is on. Tell me now, what this country coming to? I certainly like to know if they don't do something by and by. The rich will live, the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the doggone, I mean the. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
That was Brendan James Stevens and The Panic Is On. Talented young man who plays vaudeville all around. He's not actually on a bike tour right now. So if you're just tuning in, John Moyer, my special guest from Backyard Theater, is still here. Actor, producer. You do everything. Just to let people know, where can they get tickets and how and when does the show start?
Yeah, it opens tomorrow night. It's at the Conrad Center in downtown Kitchener, which is near the corner of King and Queen. So we have a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night performance at 8 o'clock and a Saturday matinee at 2 o'clock. The best way to get tickets is to go to our website, backyardtheater.ca. It's all one word, backyardtheater.ca, and click on tickets and go from there. You can drop by the Center in the Square and pick them up. Mm-hmm. You can visit the Center in the Square website, but you'll never find us there. The better way is to go to Backyard Theater, click on the link, which if you want to order online.
Yeah.
To call the Center in the Square box office as well. That's another option.
It's a great looking website too, I got to say. Very cool. I wish you all the best with the show. It's a three-day run.
Yep.
This is an exciting new theater company to come out of this area. It's a mix of all different talents, which I think is great. I'm curious to see how the young people... There, I have one last question.
Yeah.
Audience reaction so far, especially the younger people in the audience. What is this play? What kind of an impact has it had on them? What kind of comments have...
Well, we had comments like... We had like our 8-year-old boy, who was a neighbor who came over and saw it, and he was just going to come and watch. He came to the dress rehearsal because they were neighbors and whatever, and he was going to go home in intermission, and he stayed for the whole thing, which we were surprised by because we didn't Kathleen didn't write it as a children's play, but it's
no.
A good enough story that it held his interest.
Right.
And it's a little bit of a spoiler, but his favorite part is the part where the man dressed up as a woman, like it's one of the vaudeville things.
Oh, cool.
You know, but another more, an old, you know, more... A teenager, young adult sort of comment was, I never really understood war till I saw this play.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, right? Because I think the play just sort of makes you...
It resonates.
Yeah, and it's war is no longer an abstract thing. And it wasn't... And Kathleen didn't necessarily set out to have that impact. She was just trying to write a story. But that was an interesting comment. From a younger person.
Has Kathleen got any new projects coming up?
Well,
that you're allowed to talk about yet?
Yeah, no, I don't know what she's going to do next.
Okay.
She does have a play called Friendly Fire that she wrote a few years ago, and it was an honorable mention in the Void in playwriting competition.
Mm-hmm.
And she got some very helpful feedback from Sharon Pollock on that one.
Oh, yeah, Sharon. Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
And so in the back of her mind, that might be the next play, but she feels it needs another rewrite, so who knows?
Okay.
That's all I know of.
Well, we'll have you back.
That'd be great.
You and Kathleen back in the studio together to talk about your next project. I wish you all the best with Nowhere Ontario. I can't think of a better song to play than this. This is Unknown Soldier by The Doors.
Yeah.
Wait until the war is over. And
thanks, John. That was amazing.
Older, the unknown soldier. Breakfast where the news is read. Television, children fed. Unborn living, living dead. Bullet strikes the helmet's head. Soldier. make a grave for the unknown soldier nestled in your hollow shoulder. The unknown soldier.
In line, the smell of gun grease and their bayonets, they shine. He's there to help them all that he can. To make them feel wanted, he's a good holy man. Coming fight. Soon there'll be blood and many will die. Mothers and fathers back home they will cry. Stay behind and he'll meditate, but it won't stop the bleeding or ease the hate. As the young man move out into the battle zone, he feels good. With God, you're never alone. He feels so tired and he lays on his bed. Hope the man will find courage in the words that he said.
soldiers of God, you must understand, the fate of your country is in your young hands. May God give you strength, do your job real well. If it all was worth it, only time it will tell. In the morning they return with tears in their eyes. The stench of death drifts up to the skies. A young soldier so ill looks at the sky bright, remembers the words, thou shalt not kill.
And an all-time classic, Sky Pilot, the long version. And before that, The End and Unknown Soldier from The Doors. And Brendan Stevens, The Panic Is On. And that was all in kind of to set the mood for Nowhere, Ontario. This is a show about Berlin Kitchener, which is now Kitchener, 100 years ago. And everything around that at the time, from the political and emotional trickle effect of the Great War to ravages, from ravages on the war field to ravages in this little tiny community. The show is actually being performed, you know, around the neighborhood where all this transpired, has to do with the young soldiers and the 118th Battalion, which was actually... their barracks were actually at where Bread and Roses is at Queen and Cortland. So this is a fascinating play. It's a drama, but it's also very comedic, and it is being performed by Backyard Theatre. The show times are May 9th, May 10th, and May 11th. Tickets are available now. Go to the website. Go to the backyardtheatre.ca website and click on tickets. The website's fabulous. Gives you background on the play, on the playwright. Kathleen Cleland Moyer, John's wife. John Moyer was just here, of course. John is the plays Martin in the play. He's also the producer of the one of the producers of the show, and he's also a teacher, history teacher. So he's like a triple threat when it comes to this show. So Nowhere Ontario continues this weekend, and there's a student matinee on Friday, but it's sold out, and I think that's great because I think every young person should experience this just to see, you know, what someone their age was doing this time, you know, 100 and some odd years ago.